All right, we've got Lisa on the line now. Lisa, I was just saying that I'm the director of compost here at KTOO. We do subscribe to your compost collection services. But hello and welcome to the show, Lisa of Juno Compost.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Sure. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Yeah, my name's Lisa Doherty, and I've been running Juno Compost since 2017, and I love it.
Well, let's hear a little bit more of the story. Would you tell me some background about how Juno Compost came to be?
Basically, I just started composting for myself when I bought a house, and I just found that I really, really enjoyed it, especially when I saw the steam on my first hot compost pile. And so I started a pilot project in 2011 and composted for like 20 households and a few businesses just on a volunteer basis. And then I took a break to raise my son. And then in 2017, I decided to start it up as a job.
What were some of the barriers to composting here in Juno before you started Juno Compost?
Well, I think a lot of people worry about bears, which is reasonable, but that can be overcome by kind of the way you manage your compost pile. And then another one is achieving hot temperatures, which it doesn't really have so much to do with ambient air temperature as it does having the right mix in your compost and also having the right volume. So a person composting just a few gallons of scraps a week at their house is probably not going to be able to get hot composting temperatures. But the volume I'm doing, you know, several thousand pounds a week, it's a cinch.
Tell me about how it's changed since you first began in 2017. It seems like interest grew quickly once you got started, but was it a challenge to keep up?
I would say it was slow and steady, and that kind of is what has been able to let me stay sane and stay kind of within my means. In the beginning, it was just me working, you know, one afternoon a week and just a couple dozen customers. And then 2019, I guess, is when we really kind of turned things up a bit. And so that first year, 2017, we collected like 32,000 pounds of material. And in 2020, we collected 225,000 pounds. And so it's been kind of a big increase, but it was kind of slow and steady. So I was able to get new equipment as I could afford it. And that's been pretty good.
Well, what changed with the pandemic? I know gardens kind of took off a little bit more after that.
Yeah, I'll definitely say the compost sales end of the business has picked up. I was actually just kind of looking at some numbers, and back in 2019, we sold a total of 5 yards of finished compost. We were only selling by the bag. And in 2020, we sold 40 yards in just a few weeks, and we turned, you know, so many people away. And so, yeah, the revival in people being interested in growing their own food, I would say, is a good outcome of the pandemic. And definitely seeing this year, even though we're not panicking about what's on the shelves so much, people are still really interested in local gardening and growing local food, buying locally made compost.
How important is it to compost, to use compost or some sort of addition to the soil here in Juno?
Well, kind of a barrier to gardening here is that there isn't just soil. It's like most people don't just get a rototiller and go out and rototill their yard and have a garden. You know, most people, you might have a grassy area, but like me, I'm just in the forest. It's roots. If I wanted to rototill, there'd just be some moss and roots. And so most people are building raised beds. And so what do you fill those with? Well, what we have a lot of in Juno is sand, which is great for drainage, but that's not really going to feed your plants so well. And so compost is kind of this thing you can add to the mix in your bed, and it adds biology. There are things that are alive in there, and that's really the major benefit to having it in your mix.
All right. Well, that's good to know for all the gardeners out there. I'm sure they are well aware of the situation with the soil. But apart from wanting to grow successful gardens, I know many in Juno are also concerned about the situation at the landfill. It's smelly, but it's also running out of space. So how can composting contribute to a solution there?
Yeah, well, part of the stink of the landfill is that things are somewhat breaking down in there without the access to oxygen, right? And so that's anaerobic and it's making methane and other things that we can smell. And so if you were to not have those things in a landfill and let's say in a compost pile that has access to oxygen, it doesn't produce methane and it doesn't stink. And so that's kind of a benefit. But also, you know, the greenhouse gas issue is for sure a concern for people. You don't see it as much as you can smell the stink. So different people gravitate to, oh, I want to solve the landfill problem as a stink issue. And other people, it's a greenhouse gas issue. But in reality, it's both. And if you look at what goes into a landfill, the estimates vary from the EPA, but anywhere between 30 to 50% of what goes in a landfill is actually compostable. And so that includes things like food scraps and yard debris and paper products and wood products. And so if we think about saving the landfill, organics is just kind of a natural thing to look at because it's such a big piece of the pie.
What do you know about the impact your business has had and individuals who compost has had on reducing organic waste in our landfill?
Well, it's tough to say. I don't think that there's been an actual survey of how many people are composting at home. I keep track of all of the material that I collect from our members. And so we have that data and we're coming up on 500,000 pounds of food scraps collected here. And so that's kind of an exciting milestone for me. But when I look at the pieces of pie, there could potentially be about 19 million pounds of compostables going to the landfill every year. And so I look at that as on the horizon, oh, I need to shoot for 19 million pounds a year composted in an ideal world.
It's good to have goals. And speaking of goals, do you have advice or any words of encouragement to folks who have not tried composting yet, who maybe don't know where to begin or aren't sure of what kind of impact it might make?
If you're a hands-on sort of person, you could just build a compost pile in your yard, and that could just happen over the course of a weekend. And the Master Gardeners are having a mini conference this weekend, and I'm going to be doing a presentation on home composting there, and it's free, so you could register for that on Saturday. And if you're interested in composting and you're not so hands-on or you don't have a yard, you could sign up for composting service, and that's at the curb. So you just collect your food scraps in a bucket each week and you set it out on your collection day. And then our crew comes around and collects it and takes it off for local recycling. And so that's a pretty easy way to check it off the list if you're wanting to get composting right away.
And how is compostable waste like a commodity in a way that's similar or not similar to recycling, a commodity for the community?
Yeah, so right now we tend to think about paper recycling or aluminum cans or corrugated cardboard. And what happens to those things is that they're bundled up and they're shipped south to buyers, right, on a commodity market. And so somebody out there is buying all the tin cans and they're theoretically processing them into new materials, new tin cans. And in recent years, we're not exactly sure that that's 100% happening because China used to process a lot of those materials. But in 2018, they decided, no, your stuff's too full of contamination, so we don't want to take it anymore. And so the beauty of composting is that you don't have to send it anywhere. Like any community could compost their own materials right where they are. And then it makes a finished product that individuals and businesses can buy and use in their own communities. And so it's a really localized way of recycling that isn't dependent on someone else doing the work and hoping that they actually do what they say that they're going to do.
You were selected as a solutionist in Anne Julie Grantham's project that's focused on climate change solutions, where she sort of zeroed in on some really high impact solutions and the people that are here implementing those in Juneau. What did that mean to you? What was that experience like?
It's always cool to have people acknowledge that what you're doing is really helping the community. And, the solutionists were based on the Drawdown Project, and composting, I know, is a part of that. And so it's just great to see the enthusiasm that the community has had for composting in general.
In the interview with Ann Julie, you were quoted as saying, "This circular economy, the circular use of resources is where the world needs to head." Do you see that shift happening, and is it happening fast enough for you?
Well, I would say that pre-pandemic, I was super, super hopeful, and just the zero waste model of things where, yeah, you don't have waste. You actually have resources that are used to make new products and things just go in a loop. I was really, really hopeful. And then with the pandemic, when stores weren't allowing you to use reusable bags and single-use plastics were becoming just the normal again, I was pretty crushed and down and out. But now I really do think that the world's coming around, and there's some legislation on the national level that I think is really going to incentivize circular thinking over linear thinking in all things, transportation, food systems, and the economy in general.
What inspired you to go into the composting business in the first place? Was it something you were already doing, like on an individual level, or something that you just felt was really important? How did you get inspired and motivated to make Juno Compost happen?
Well, I guess I've always been interested in waste and recycling and consumption in general since I was a little kid. But I wouldn't say I ever thought I would run a compost business or drive a dump truck or run a front end loader. I never in a million years would have thought that. But the excitement I had when I built my first compost pile, I just shifted from gardening being my main thing to composting being my main thing. And by reaching out to people all over the country, I've just really formed these relationships with other composters and seeing how many ways it can be done and how it can be really localized for each community and what that community needs and the resources it has at its hands. And so I just think it's a really accessible way to make communities more resilient and sustainable.
So what has being the owner and proprietor of Juno Compost taught you? Is it anything surprising? You just mentioned running some of the equipment that you never saw yourself running. Anything else?
I think that's a tough one. Every day is different. It seems like there's always new challenges. And just when I get settled into a routine, I'm like, the next step, things aren't going to run that way anymore. And so it's just a constant challenge and trying to figure out how I can best serve more people in the community is just kind of what I'm keeping my eyes set on.
Well, we at K2O are really grateful to have your service. I'd say most of us use it, take advantage of it. So thank you so much for being as organized as you are and for keeping it nice and clean for us. We really appreciate that. I've been speaking with Lisa Doherty from Juno Compost. And Lisa, tell me again the details of your talk this weekend.
Oh, yeah. So it's the Master Gardeners Mini Conference. And so it's 2 days of online workshops over Zoom. And so on Saturday, I think it's 2 o'clock, but you can check on the Master Gardeners webpage. But 2 o'clock, it's going to be a talk on home composting.
Well, that should be super interesting. Thanks so much for speaking with me today. And is there anything else you want to share or add before we say goodbye?
No, I think that's it. Thanks for talking to me.
All right. Take care, Lisa.